John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 18 down through verse 27. This is really it's a very well-known passage or chapter, at least the first part about the vine and the branches. And I've really enjoyed studying this and really been able to get a lot out of this. And this last part was a blessing as well. So we're going to read John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's start with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time. And Lord, as we open up the Word of God, we're just reminded of how blessed we are. Lord, as we heard this morning, how great a God you are. You are a God of miracles. And we're so thankful for the miracle of salvation that we can experience. And Lord, tonight, as we spend time in your word, we're asking for your blessing. We're asking for your Holy Spirit to work in us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Robert Frost, in 1915, he wrote the poem that he titled, The Road Not Taken. And it's probably the most familiar poem in the United States. And I know it's one that I remember studying in high school or junior high, and I'm pretty sure I probably had to memorize it, but I don't remember it. So I'm going to read it tonight, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And it's a very interesting poem, and there's a lot of articles written on what it means. But essentially, it's a person who is looking back on their life and they're recounting that they took one path over the other. And they're going back and telling their experience with these two different roads and how they looked at both of those and then they made this decision. And now it's like they're saying, ages and ages hence, I'm going to look back and sigh over the one I took and the one that I did not take. And Robert Frost's biographer said that Robert Frost wrote this poem based on his best friend, Edward Thomas. And Robert Frost described Edward Thomas this way. He said he was a person who, whichever road he went, would be sorry he didn't go the other. And I think that gives us some insight into what he was meaning by this poem. And we have that tendency as people to look back and kind of wonder what would have happened if we had gone the other way. Well, in our passage, in the end of John chapter 15, Jesus Christ presents us really with the road not taken. And he looks at what he had done and who he was and the disciples in it. And he really brings up this question, what if? And he uses the word if over and over in this passage. And it's like he brings this up before the disciples. What if? What if Jesus Christ had taken a different path? What if the disciples had taken this other path? Because we know that Jesus Christ chose to walk a very hard and very difficult path. You look at what Jesus Christ went through up till this point and what we know happened beyond chapter 15, and we know it was not an easy road for Jesus Christ. And we know it's the same thing for the disciples. When they chose to follow Christ, they chose a difficult path for themselves. And Jesus Christ is, I think in this time, as things are about to get more serious with his trial and his crucifixion, he's bringing this up. And he's confronting them with this question, I think, that goes through all of our minds. What if? What if I had taken a different path? And it's easy to ask that question, especially when we're going through the valleys of life. And sometimes it seems like we're just dwelling in those valleys. And it's in those hard times where it's easy to ask the question, what if? What if I hadn't chosen to follow Jesus Christ? What if I had chosen to just live for myself? What if I had picked a different, less difficult path than the one Jesus Christ had for me? What if? What if I had gone a different way? How would my life be different? Would my life be better if I had not chosen Jesus Christ? And I think if we're all honest tonight, we've had these moments in our life where we've thought about this and said, how would my life be different if I wasn't who I was, if I was not a follower of Jesus Christ, if I was not a Christian? How would my life be different? And then the question, would it be better? Would my life be better? Would it be easier if I hadn't followed Jesus Christ? And I think if we're honest, we've all asked ourselves that. And maybe it's something that you've been thinking about recently or struggling with. And Jesus Christ wants us to know what that's like. He wants us to know the answer to that. And that's what I want to look at this evening. And we're going to look at the first question in verse 22 through 25. We're going to jump right into the middle of this passage first. And I want us to see first, what if Jesus had just stayed home? What if Jesus had just stayed home? So look in verse 22. He says this, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." What if Jesus had just stayed home? Now, Jesus Christ doesn't ask us to make hard choices that he has not already made. He doesn't ask us to go where he has not been, and he does not ask us to give what he has not already given. Right? So he's done this. He leads by example. That's who Jesus Christ is. But then he brings this up and says, what if I hadn't come to earth? What if he hadn't come to earth? What if he had just stayed in heaven and never come to this earth? He brings it up, what if I had not come and spoken unto them in verse 22, right? What if he had never come in and spoken the truth to these Pharisees? What if he had never come in and declared to them very plainly who he was as the Messiah? What if he just hadn't said anything? What if he just come to earth and lived as a carpenter and just done his earthly father's business? What if he hadn't spoken? He brings it up in verse 24. What if he hadn't done any of the things that he did? What if he had never spent any of his time helping those people on earth? What if he hadn't spent his Sabbath days preaching to these people and healing people? What if he hadn't done anything to rile up the religious authorities or the Pharisees? What if he just hadn't done any of these miracles? What if he had just stayed home in heaven or just stayed home on earth and just lived his life as a carpenter? Well, he says that if he did that, then he wouldn't have been crucified, right? We know if Jesus Christ had just stayed in heaven or just kept quiet or not done anything on earth, then he wouldn't have been crucified. And crucifixion was a horrible death, especially as the Romans did it. And he suffered all of that. He went through the beatings and the whipping and the crown of thorns and the nails and the spear in his side and all of that involved in the crucifixion. And he suffered all of that because of the road that he chose to travel. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it talks about Jesus Christ despising the shame and the humiliation and embarrassment of the crucifixion. He chose to suffer all of that. And he took all of our sin in his sinless body, And he understood what it meant to have the Father turn his back on him. And he chose to do all of that. But you know, if he had taken the other path, what if Jesus Christ had stayed home? Then he wouldn't have had to go through that. He would never have been crucified. He would never have been tortured the way that he was if he had just stayed home. He says in verse 22, he said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, he makes this statement, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And he's not saying that they would have been free from all sin. He's talking about a specific sin, and that is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, of rejecting their Messiah. That specific crowning sin, we could say it's that the ultimate sin, what all their other sins were pushing them toward, was that rejection of Jesus Christ as their Messiah, rejection of the Savior. And that's what everybody's sin really pushes them toward. It pushes them toward rejecting Jesus Christ and saying, no, I don't want to trust him as my Savior. And he said, as he came to earth, his time on earth and his declaring who he was, what he said and what he did, pushed them to reject him. And not by any fault of Jesus Christ, but just by him saying who he was and doing what the Father wanted him to do. And he says that now they have no cloak for their sin. There was no way for them to hide it. And what we see in the beginning of the Gospels is that they tried to hide their hatred for Jesus Christ and their rejection of him because they feared the multitudes, the Bible says. But now, later on, they're very open about this. And pretty soon, Jesus Christ would be crucified very publicly. But we've seen this before in the book of John, that Jesus Christ said that before he came, they were looking for this Messiah. Israel was looking for the Messiah. They were praying for the Messiah to come. But then when Jesus Christ came, they rejected him. They rejected him as the Messiah. And in John chapter 8 and verse 21, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, I go my way and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And Jesus said, he told them this. He said, you are going to seek for me, or you're going to seek for the Messiah, but you will not find him. And we talked about this and we said that until they saw that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, they were going to seek for the Messiah. But as long as they ignored him, they would not find him. And when Jesus Christ came to earth, he knew that's what was going to happen. He knew that as he came on the scene, they would look at him and they would reject him, that they would turn from him. And I'm sure that the heart of Jesus Christ broke when he experienced that. Not because of what he suffered, but because of them. Because he knew that they were rejecting their Messiah. They were rejecting salvation, what he offered to them. But he knew that if he took this path where he came to earth, he was going to be rejected. And that he was going to have to be rejected by people that he loved and that he cared for and that he would die for. And that this cloak of their rejection would be taken off and it would be very visible, their sin. And so he knew when he chose to come to earth that they would reject him. But what if he hadn't come to earth? Well, he wouldn't have been crucified and he wouldn't have been rejected by those people. And those people, those men would probably have kept looking for that Messiah and kept praying for the Messiah. And they wouldn't have rejected him. But you know what? We come to this conclusion in verse 25 that Jesus comes to. He says, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled. So he said, I'm doing all of this. I'm coming to earth. I'm speaking. I'm doing what I'm doing so that it will be fulfilled. That's written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And this is a quote from Psalm 69. And I want us to go back there. Psalm 69. And we're going to read the first four verses to begin with. Psalm 69 and verse 1, this Psalm of David, and there's a lot of meaning that references to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ in this psalm. But Psalm 69 and verse 1, it says, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. If you look at verse 7, it says, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Verse 9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And it's prophetic about Jesus Christ and what he would go through at the hands of the people on the earth, right? Because of their sin, that they would hate him, that they would reject him, and that they would crucify him. But what's interesting is Psalm 69 ends on a completely different note. If we go down to verse 29, and I want to read from verse 29 down through verse 36, and I want you to see how different the end is from the beginning. Verse 29, I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. And there's such a contrast between the beginning and the end of this psalm. But understand this, if Jesus Christ had stopped at the end, in the beginning of that psalm, we could say, if he stopped before they hated him without a cause, we wouldn't have the end of Psalm 69. And if Jesus Christ had never come, had never left his home, if he had chosen to stay home, whether in heaven or just live a normal life on earth, we would not have had salvation through Jesus Christ. We would not have had the end of Psalm 69, where it says, those that seek Jesus Christ shall live. We wouldn't have that. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, he was the author and finisher who looked ahead to the joy that was waiting. And so he chose to endure the cross. He chose to despise the shame. And in verse 1, the end of Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, his example of enduring, of taking that difficult path and saying, I will do what is right for the salvation of the world. So what if Jesus Christ had chose to stay home? Well, he wouldn't have had to suffer like he did. He wouldn't have been crucified. He wouldn't have been rejected by people on this earth. But we would not have salvation. He would not have been the savior of the world. And I remember hearing this quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is what? For good men to do nothing. And if Jesus Christ had done nothing, then evil would have triumphed. Sin would have triumphed. Satan would have triumphed. And so Jesus Christ chose to take that difficult path for you and me. So what if Jesus Christ had chosen to stay home? And Jesus Christ addresses that with his disciples. But then if we go back to our passage in John chapter 15, if we go back to the beginning of our passage, verse 18 through verse 21, he addresses something that I'm sure the disciples maybe had considered, which is, what if the disciples hadn't followed Jesus? What if? What if the disciples had not chosen to follow Jesus? So look in verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Look at verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I sent unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Are any of you familiar with the name Ronald Wayne? Ronald Wayne, he was one of the co-founders of Apple with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in April of 1976. What's interesting about him and why his name is less known than the other two is that he sold his 10% share in that company 12 days later. Right? They founded the company 12 days later. He sold his 10% share for $800, just $800. Now they estimate that today it would be worth billions of dollars. He sold out after 12 days for only $800 when he could be worth billions. And he said that with the stress of staying with Apple, of staying with that company and all that they were doing, as an older man, he said he probably would have wound up the richest man in the cemetery. Right? He said it would have killed him to stay with that company. So he made a choice about this. He also said you make a decision based on your understanding of the circumstances and you live with it. And from seeing some of the things that he said, you know that he's wrestled with this question. What if? What if I just stayed with this company? How would my life be different? Would my life be better if I had all this wealth because of staying with that company? And Jesus Christ again brings that question up before the disciples. And he said, what if? What if you hadn't followed me? How would your life be different? And would your life be better if you had not followed me? And when Jesus Christ approached them, he really presented them with two different paths, didn't he? He said, you could turn away from Jesus Christ, keep doing what you're doing, and be of the world, right? He uses that phrase. Or they could follow Jesus Christ and be of Jesus. And the idea of the world, where he says in verse 19, if you're of the world would love his own. Of the world has the idea of being like those who don't know Jesus, to have that same fleshly ambitions as they do, the same fleshly goals, fleshly desires, fleshly pursuits, all the things that the world does that is opposed to what is right and opposed to God, being of that. And he tells them in verse 19 that if they were of the world, he says the world would love his own. And that's what the world does. They love their own. They love people that think the same as they do, that hold the same beliefs that they do, that do the same things they do, but they do not tolerate people that are different from them. They do not tolerate Christians who preach the truth. They don't tolerate people that follow Jesus Christ and live as Jesus Christ lived. There is not that tolerance and acceptance. And I think we're seeing that more and more in our society. Less and less of people tolerating Christians and believers who stand for the truth on the Word of God. And I don't think it was easy for the disciples to be hated by their community and even by their family and friends, people they had grown up with, people that they had known, because that's where they were ministering. And I don't think it was easy for them to endure that rejection and hatred. And I think we kind of get a glimpse of this at the trial of Jesus Christ. If you remember, Peter follows Jesus Christ and he's there at the trial in that same place. And if you remember, he is approached and asked if he is a disciple of Jesus Christ, if he's a follower. And we know that three times he denies it. He denies Jesus Christ. And I think in that we see really this pull on Peter's heart to just be part of that crowd. Right? And to just, even for a moment, in that instance, to just be accepted, just to be like everyone else that was there, I think we see how hard it was for him to endure being different from everybody that was there. And I think that was especially a hard time with all that was going on. But I think we see just his desire, at least for a moment, to blend in. And if we're honest, we've all felt that at different times in our life. And I think there were times for the disciples to say, you know what, if I hadn't followed Jesus, if I hadn't taken that, I could fit in. You know, I could just go back to my community and just be one of the guys and just have this normal sort of life. And they wouldn't have to deal with the scorn that people would have for them. They wouldn't have to put up with all of that if they weren't followers of Jesus Christ. And nobody likes to be excluded. Nobody likes to be left out. We all want to be accepted. And the disciples could have had that if they hadn't followed Jesus. What if they hadn't followed Jesus? They would have fit in with everybody in their hometown. They would have just been able to stay there and have that normal life and have all those friends in that community. They wouldn't have been chosen and set apart by Jesus Christ. But then he presents to them, the Lord presents to them the other side of that in verse 21, where he talking about these people, and he says, but all these things will they do, right? Those that hate Jesus Christ, they will do unto you for my name's sake. And then he puts this in there, because they know not him that sent me. And if the disciples hadn't followed Jesus Christ, they would have been in that group to some degree, right? Maybe they still believed in the Messiah. Maybe they thought Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they would not have known Jesus Christ, and they would not have known God the Father like they did if they hadn't taken that hard path of choosing Jesus Christ, if they hadn't chosen that. And I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about how much he values knowing God. Now, Paul wasn't one of those that was there in John chapter 15, but I think we, knowing the disciples and seeing how they were in Acts along with Paul, we would say that these were the same things that they would say. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul says, what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And Paul says, really the valuable thing for me is knowing Jesus Christ. And I don't think the disciples would disagree. I think they would heartily agree with Paul's statement that what they valued, what they were willing to put everything else aside for, was knowing Jesus Christ and knowing the Father through Jesus Christ. And it said that the value is what someone's willing to pay for something. And the disciples were willing to pay to know Jesus Christ. They're willing to pay the price of rejection by the world, being hated, and not being part of the crowd, and not being accepted in their hometown or in their communities or even maybe by their family. They're willing to pay that price because they put such a high value on their relationship with Jesus Christ, on knowing him, on learning from him, on walking with Jesus Christ. And what if they hadn't chosen that path? They would have forfeited all of that, all of their time with Jesus Christ, all of their in-depth discussions with Christ and what Jesus Christ taught them. They would have given up all of that to just follow the crowd. And yes, maybe they wouldn't have been hated by the world, and the world would have loved them and accepted them, and they would have been part of that, but they would have given up so much. And like Ronald Wayne and his giving up of his shares in Apple, they would have cashed out early. If they had chosen a different path, they would have cashed out early, and they would have lost what is truly valuable. So what if Jesus Christ had stayed home? What if the disciples hadn't followed Jesus Christ? And then there's one more I want us to see in John chapter 15, in verse 26, and it's this: what if the disciples kept quiet? What if the disciples kept quiet? Look in verse 26 and 27 of John 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, this isn't put in the form of an if statement, but we're gonna put it in that mold for our service tonight. What if the disciples never bore witness of Jesus Christ? Jesus tells them that they would receive the Spirit of truth in verse 26, who would be indwell them as believers, and he would testify of Jesus Christ. He would give them what to say about Jesus Christ. In verse 27, he commissions them and says, you will bear witness of me. And that's not too different from what we have. In fact, it's exactly the same as what we've been given. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given that commission. We find in the end of Matthew in chapter 28 that he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? He tells them in the beginning of the book of Acts that there were to be witnesses unto him, right? In all of these places, all across the world. And we've been given that commission to speak of Jesus Christ. But then after the book of John, we have the book of Acts, and we find out that's what the disciples did. That's the road they chose to take, was the road to speak about Jesus Christ, and that they did that for the rest of their lives. And history has recorded for us what happened to them, what happened to these disciples as they went out and preached the gospel. And it tells us what happened. So it says that we find out that Peter was crucified. Andrew, the disciple Andrew, he went to Greece, to Turkey, and Russia, and he was crucified. Thomas went to India, and he was killed by soldiers there. Philip went to North Africa, and he was killed. Matthew went to Persia and Ethiopia, and he was killed. Bartholomew, we know, was martyred. James was killed. Simon the Zealot went to Persia, and he was killed. Matthias, the disciple that was that replacement for Judah, he was killed by fire. John is really the only one who died a natural death, and he died in exile in the island of Patmos. All of these disciples died because of what they did for Jesus Christ, because they chose to speak and to bear witness to Jesus Christ. But what if? What if they hadn't? What if they had, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not traveling this path anymore. I'm not going down this road. What if they had just said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to say sorry to all my family, and I'm going to just go back. You know, what if? What if they hadn't spoken up? Maybe they could have gone back to their family and raised their kids and gotten to hold their grandkids. Maybe they would just had that normal life and retire early and enjoy their life back at home and never have to go through all of that, never have to be persecuted, never have to be beaten and thrown in prison and killed for the gospel. What if? What if they hadn't? What if they had just kept quiet and never spoken up for Jesus Christ? Well, you know what? If they hadn't have done that, if they had just kept quiet, then the world would never know about Jesus Christ. The world wouldn't know of Jesus Christ. And I just think of the thousands and as we extrapolate to today, the billions of people who are saved because they chose to keep that message and to pass it on and to be those first people that would go out and say, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They went and they took that message and they spoke out about Jesus Christ, knowing what they would go through, because Jesus Christ told them, in verse 20 of John 15, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And he said, you know that in the world you will have tribulation. They will persecute you if you speak about me. But Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. And they could have taken another path, and they could have said, we're not going to. One of them could have said, I'm just gonna be quiet. I'm just going to go home. I'm done with all of this. But they spoke up, and they proclaimed the gospel throughout the world. And the gospel went throughout the world because of them. And we can ask the question, well, what did they get out of it? Right? What did they receive for this? And you know, we would find that they got more than they gave because they chose to preach the gospel. And Jesus told them in Luke chapter 18 and verse 29, he said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Before that, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus Christ would add kind of to this idea, he would say, and his own life also, right? The person who is willing to give up all that he has and his own life also, he said, I will reward him in this life and in the next. And that's the promise of Jesus Christ, but he always presents it as a sacrifice. He always presents following Christ, following him as a sacrifice. And it would be disingenuous of him to not present it that way, because it is. It's a sacrifice. And the disciples had to make a choice and say, I'm not going to make my life all about me. I'm not going to live this life for myself. I will live this life for Jesus Christ. I will go and I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they had to make a choice to sacrifice for their calling, for what Jesus Christ had called them to do. But what if? What if the disciples had just kept quiet? Well, they might have been able to go back and have a normal rest of their life. They might have been able to return and just live out the rest of their life doing things and being accepted and just being part of their community. But then the world would have never known of Jesus Christ. So there's all these what ifs that we could talk about tonight. What if things had gone differently? What if people had chosen a different path? What if Jesus Christ had stayed in heaven? What if he had just stayed home in heaven, or just stayed home on earth, just been quiet, not done anything? What if the disciples had never followed Jesus? They'd said, we're going to say no when Jesus Christ asks us to follow him. What if they just kept quiet? What if they had never talked about the gospel? What if they had never preached Jesus Christ? And you know, I really don't like thinking about these what ifs. Because when we do, all we see are, looking back, all we see are missed opportunities. And we see discouraging things, and we see failures. We see bad choices. We see all of that. Because that's what we find when we choose to look back and ask those sort of questions. But tonight, what about you? What Jesus Christ did and what the disciples did, that's finished. It's been recorded for us. It's part of history. But what about you tonight? Your past is over, but your future isn't. And maybe tonight you've had these sort of questions about what if, right? What if I don't follow Jesus? Or what if I just keep quiet about Jesus Christ? What if I just do things differently? Yes, I've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Yes, I've chosen to be a disciple, but what about my future? What if I just choose to do differently from here on out? We have the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side, and it's funny how our mind works that way, how it really glamorizes the things that we don't have and really builds it up. And our flesh does that for the life of unbelievers, and it does that for people who aren't living for Christ. And our flesh looks at those and says, you know, it seems like everything's just so golden for them, and everything looks so great for their life, and they're not following Jesus Christ, and here I am suffering and going through things because of my choice. What if I just had a life like theirs? Would my life be better if I just chose their path? And tonight, why don't we change that around? And instead of saying, what if I chose to live for myself, why don't we just say, what if I chose to live for Jesus Christ? What if? What if I just chose one more time? Say, tomorrow I'm just going to follow Jesus Christ again. I'm just going to head down that same path that I'm on of following Jesus Christ. What if we said, I'm going to speak for Jesus Christ? What if I just talked about Jesus Christ? What if I just witnessed to that person that I know I need to preach the gospel to? What if you just kept living for the Lord? What if we just turned around, just asked ourselves those questions? And I want us to read one more passage in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, you'll know my love. You'll know my joy in you if you just follow me. We sing the song, When We See Christ, and the last verse of that song says this, life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. And the chorus says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Our flesh over and over asks the question, what if? What if you just lived this life for yourself? What if you just made the decision that you're going to live this life for what is best for you? Think of how much better your life would be if you just lived your life for yourself. But Jesus tonight, he asks us the question, what if? What if you lived your life for me? What if we lived our life for Jesus Christ? What if we just kept following Jesus Christ? You've chosen to live for Jesus Christ. Keep doing that. Keep doing what's right. Keep walking that path. And yes, it will be a difficult path. But for every difficulty, we have a God of miracles, as we heard this morning, who's greater than everything, and he walks beside us. Keep walking that path. Keep living for Jesus Christ. Don't let your flesh tempt you with what you know is not true. But instead, listen to what Jesus Christ is trying to tell us. Don't waste your time considering the road not taken. Don't look back and say, you know what? What if I had lived for myself yesterday? What if I had made different choices? What if I had lived for myself yesterday? Instead, just look ahead and look up to Christ and say, what if? What if I live for Jesus Christ tomorrow? And you know what we'll find? Like the end of the song said, it'll be worth it all. One day it will be worth it all when we see Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer.